come on, we can do better than that. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. For the songs I was walking and talking with my mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Amen. Anybody here woke up this morning with God on your mind? Oh, come on. Let's give God some praise then. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for yet this is another opportunity where we can come out to your house, Master, and sit before you and sit at your table and glean from you, receive from you. Master, you said that if we will open up when you knock at our heart's door, you said not only you will come in, but your Father will come in and you will sit down and sup with us. We ask today, Master, that you sup with us, break bread with us, break the bread of life with us, give us what we need, Master, that we can continue on this journey. We ask now in this blessing in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have hymn 540.
Oh,
How many of us in here know that we don't have that long to be here? That's why I always tell people you better do the best that you can while you are here. Amen. For tomorrow is not promised to us. The one thing he did promise, that he will always be with us. So it behooves us to do all that we can while we can. And I'm not just talking about for yourself. I'm also talking about for the kingdom of God. For the Bible says, work while there is day, for surely night shall come when man cannot work. Do what you can for God before it's too late. Amen. You know, sometimes we kind of schedule God. We kind of say, well, God, I'll do that for you on tomorrow. And when you don't know if tomorrow is even promised to you. And so let's do what we can for God while we are here. That's the reason that we are here. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we come now to say thank you. For we realize that you are an awesome God. You're a God that's so big, you operate outside of time. You're a God that's so powerful, you operate outside of power. You're a God that's so thoughtful, you operate outside of our ability to think. God, you are everything that we need. So we come this morning to say thank you. Not only are you everything that we need, but Master, you know us better than we know ourselves. For even when Jeremiah had questioned, you told Jeremiah you knew him before you formed him in his mother's womb. So we come this morning and say thank you, God, for knowing us. Thank you for knowing each and every last one of us individually. Thank you for having a relationship with each and every last one of us individually. And we know, Master, in that relationship, you show love, kindness, mercy, and understanding. And not only do you show kindness, love, mercy, and understanding, but you show the trueness of your nature. You show that you're a God who's consistent. You're a God who's always there when we need him. Thank you, Master, for being that God. Thank you, Master, for guiding us, leading us when you know that we're about to head down the wrong road. You are so awesome. Sometimes you stop us in our tracks, so that you can talk to us and get us back to where we need to be. You are such an awesome God. This morning we want to come and say thank you, Master, for doing just those things. Because without you, we surely don't know where we would be. Some of us would have fallen already, Master, but because you are our leaning post, we're still standing. We come this morning and say thank you for being an awesome God. Thank you for being a good God to this church. And Master, we know that you're going to use this church to change lives. Thank you for thinking enough of us and trusting enough to use us to reach others. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. We ask now that the officer will come for the purpose of tithing and offering.
You try.
Our Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, they be used, Lord God, to edify your kingdom. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say amen. Amazing grace, amen. That takes me way back. Amen. 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 If you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to the third number of Psalms. I promise you I won't be long. The Super Bowl is on. And your pastor finally made a decision. I'm rolling with the Eagles. Amen. 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 Only because my frat brother's the quarterback. Amen. And he's an Alabama boy. Amen. Amen. Psalms number 3. And it reads, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and a lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. Selah. I laid me down and slept. I awakened, for the Lord sustained me. I would not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. Amen. Amen. Just for a few moments, I would like to take the subject, rest. Let me say that again. Rest. My proposition for you today is in every situation, in every circumstance, no matter what place you find yourself, you can find rest in God. This sermon is a reminder to the saints of God that your rest is important. In this third number of Psalms, we find David expressing his feelings of being overwhelmed by the current events in his life. When he looks at the severity of his situation, he finds himself facing his greatest threat. Many theologians believe that his greatest threat was Goliath. I believe that it was not Goliath. I believe that his battle with Goliath held the most weight because of what came out of or could have come out of that battle. But his greatest threat was his own son. See, because the battle with Goliath was not personal. The battle with Goliath was about you and I. Symbolically, David and Goliath's battle was signifying the enemy, who was Satan, trying to get us to become his slaves. When you go back into the earlier chapters of the Bibles in Genesis, you find that God declared unto Adam and unto Eve that because of their evils, that God will place Satan, or shall I say the snake, to the place where he will bruise the heel of man, but man will crush his head. And when we look at the battle of David and the battle of Goliath, when we get into the details, we find out that Goliath wore a shield of scales, which means he was representation of evil. That's why he stood in the valley and said, send out one of your champions. And as I stand here as a champion, and if your champion can defeat me, then we will be your slaves. But if I defeat you, then you all will be our slaves. So David's battle with Goliath was not that threatening for David. So David was encouraged because he knew that with God, amen, he could conquer God's enemy. It was not a personal battle, so it didn't threaten him. He was encouraged about what he was about to do. I think it upset David that he could see that God's people, who are supposed to be God's chosen, sitting on the sideline, scared of someone who called them out. He got upset because nobody would move. Even Saul, who was supposed to be one of the greatest of God's warriors, was afraid of Goliath. But David found himself not afraid of Goliath because he remembered when he was a shepherd boy out in his father's pasture. When it was time for him to kill a lion, he killed the lion with his bare hands. When it's time for him to kill a bear, he killed a bear with his bare hands. But David had the strength and the courage from God to do those things. It wasn't a personal thing for David. It was something that he needed to do because he was obligated in his position. But when it became something personal, things changed. Anybody here can attest to that? When it's personal, things change. You know, it's amazing how we can always give someone advice and say, if I was in this, I would do it this way and I would do it that way. But when you're in it, things change. Because you are not outside of the pressure of the situation, but you're actually inside of the pressure of the situation, and you can feel the pressure pushing on you. And so your thought processes change. How you look at things change. How you perceive things change. And when it becomes personal, a lot of times we get overwhelmed. Amen. We feel defeated. We feel like we can't go on. Because what we do when we find ourselves in such a predicament, we first recognize our fear. Amen. When we find that there's perhaps some danger that's presented to us, the first thing we do is recognize our fear. Because what we do is we actually start looking at ourselves and we realize our weaknesses. Amen. And we start examining our weaknesses. And then when we get beyond ourselves, we look at our enemy and we look at our enemy's strengths. And we find ourselves comparing our weaknesses to their strengths. And we find ourselves becoming overwhelmed because we don't think we can beat them. And we think that defeat is inevitable. We think that there's no way out for us. But when you are a child of God, you can always find rest in every situation when you realize who your God is. Amen. Anybody here with me today? Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Because we sometimes put ourselves below where we are. We do things that we ought not do. Amen? Amen. We say things that we ought not say. We act the way that we ought not act because we are acting out of our fear. Not realizing God is there with us the whole time. David's greatest threat was his son. It puzzled me because David is a warrior. How someone who's prepared for war, who's already ready to go to war, when war is presented to him, find himself not able to respond the way that a Christian ought to respond. Amen. The way that I know that this battle is David's greatest threat, this is the only battle David faced in his life where David showed fear. In every other battle in the Bible, go read it, you'll find out that David was always encouraged because he knew that God was with him. He was strong and mighty. His men respected him because he was a warrior's warrior. But when it became something that was personal, David responded with fear.
Look at the text. The text said this in verse 1. When we look at it hermeneutically, we see that there are some issues with the way that this sentence is structured, because it's structured to show David's fear. The stanza starts by saying, Lord, comma, which means there was emphasis on the word Lord. He had to pause after he said Lord, which means he was thinking about something. He was concerned about something. He was considering something. And what he was considering brought fear to him. How do I know that? Because it says this, how are they increased that trouble me? David feared his enemies. He feared the strength of his enemies. He feared who his enemies were. And not only did he fear them and fear who they were, but he also feared what they had to say about him. So many of us in here today, we care about what folks have to say about us. Amen. And we live in this generation where folks want likes on Facebook or want views. They put stuff out there for folks to look and see what they are doing. I'm going to tell y'all, I'm about to stand on the soapbox. I'm so annoyed by Facebook and Instagram, I wish I didn't have to get on them. I really do. I think they're the worst thing that happened to society. I wish we can get rid of them. But people want likes. They want people to say good things about them. David was fearful not only of who his threat was and what his threat was capable of, but he was fearful of what they were saying about him. This man who has killed thousands of people, the Bible says he was such a great destroyer that they had songs about him, saying that Saul has killed his thousand, but David had killed his tens of thousands. This man who was known to be a warrior has found himself facing his greatest threat. What do you do when you face your greatest threat? It may not be something personal. It may be something communal. It may be related to your job. Maybe related to your health. What do you do when you are facing what you consider to be your greatest threat? Do you call on God? Or do you start looking at your weaknesses and looking at the strength of what you're fighting? Well, my children, let me tell you today, stop looking at yourself. David's focus shifts. Went from looking at his weaknesses, looking at how unprepared he was for what happened to him, to looking at his God. And are you saying, well, Pastor, shouldn't you not have to say that? Aren't we all Christians? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've seen you when you're going through. Mm-hmm. Not only you, but I've seen myself when I was going through. We have human nature responds to fear. The question is, what do you do with that fear? Does that fear drive you away from God, or does that fear drive you closer to God? That fear should drive you closer to God, because it should help you understand that you are not the all-powerful. You are not the almighty. You are not the all-knowing. But guess what? You know the all-knowing. You know the all-powerful. You know the almighty. And as a matter of fact, not only do you know him, but you're his child. Amen. So what do you do with your fear? You shouldn't get overwhelmed. It should encourage you that God is about to do something for you. Lord, have mercy. I just said something that went over y'all heads. When you're going through your trials and tribulations and through your storms, you must know that a blessing is coming, and Satan trying to keep you from receiving that blessing. So he's trying to get you to turn away from God. So he put things in your life to cause you to operate out of fear instead of operating out of courage. David realized that when he operated out of courage, God delivered. Amen. He realized that when the lions came, he did it out of courage, and God gave him supernatural strength. Amen. When the bears came, God gave him supernatural strength. When he faced Goliath, God gave him supernatural strength. He remembered that God allowed him to slay a 9-foot giant with a smooth stone. This great warrior of the Philistines, God put him in David's hands. I said that to say this to some of y'all. Y'all so concerned about your enemy having more power than you, and God trying to put your enemies in your hands. Stop being concerned about who you are. Be concerned about who your God is. Because there's no power greater than the power that your God has. Anybody in here believe that? Well, we ought to operate in such a manner that when things come up in our lives, we ought not to be fearful, but we ought to be joyous because something is coming. Not only did I read that in scripture, but I can tell you that from my own life. Anytime I've ever had a struggle, when I came out, I was better because God pulled me through and I saw the might of my Father. David changes his focus. In verse 3, he says, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and a lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of the holy hills." David said, "I'll stop focusing on my enemies and start focusing on who my God is." He realized that the courage that he had, the resilience that he had, the strength and the power that he had did not come from him. He realized that they came from God. Psalms 46:1 bears us out because the psalmist writes that God will not only be your refuge, which means your place of safety, but the Bible also said that God will be your strength. Anybody here need God to be your strength? There are many times in my life where I know I can't make it without him. And I need his might. I need his strength. I need his wisdom. And I need his power. Now, there are some things that we can do for ourselves, but there's some things that you can't do. Amen. There's some things that you just got to put in the hands of God. David realized he just needed to put his enemies in God's hands. So he went before God in prayer. And y'all know what the Bible says about prayer, that the prayer of the righteous availeth much, which means it has much power. It gets God's attention. It calls God to act on your behalf. Brothers and sisters, when you find yourself about to become overwhelmed, rest. When you find yourself not meeting up to the standard, rest. When you find yourself not being able to go any further, rest. When you find yourself feeling like you are defeated, rest. When you rest and you give it over to God, what you're actually doing is getting out of God's way. Amen. A lot of times we are in God's way and we're trying to make things happen because we think that we got it all together and we know everything and we know how to do everything, but all the thing we're doing is really making a bigger mess than what it already is. Amen. God says, "Be still. Rest. Stop moving. Rest. Close your mouth. Rest." The Bible says a man needs to learn how to bridle that tongue. Sometimes we talk too much. My wife always says that sometimes you speak louder by being quiet than you do by opening your mouth. Rest. Stop getting God's way. When you give it to God, allow God to do what he's going to do with it. Stay out of the way. You need to realize that God is all powerful and that God is all knowing. And David not only prayed a prayer, but he prayed a prayer of thanksgiving and adoration. David said, since I've given it to you, I know what's about to happen. So I'm going to go ahead and give you the praise. How many of us wait on God to deliver before we praise him? How many of us praise God before it happens? We all ought to be praising God before it happens, because when you praise God before it happens, you're telling God, I believe you're going to do exactly what you said you're going to do. I may not look like I'm being blessed, but I know it's coming. I may not sound like I'm being blessed, but I know it's coming. So I'm holding on to what you said, because you are my God, and I believe that my blessings are on the way. Anybody in here believe in giving God praise before your deliverance have come? Anybody in here believe in giving God praise before your healing has come? Anybody in here believe in giving God praise before he moves on your behalf? We all ought to be praising God before he moves, because God is a God of his word. If he said it, it shall come true. Now then the Bible teaches me that God is not a respecter of persons. So just because he blessed one person don't mean he can't bless you. If he blessed them, he will bless you because he blessed them. Somebody to give God some praise right now, because somebody's in line to be blessed. What you need to do is go home and rest. David said, you know what? I've given it to the Lord. I'm going to rest. The next stanza says, I laid me down and slept. His enemy wasn't gone. His enemy was still there. For those of us who can't sleep through the night because we're worried about stuff, go ahead and rest. If you believe in your God and you trust your God, you must know that your God got it. And if God is working on your behalf, why are you up? Why are you missing sleep? Why are you losing something that you need when your God is handling it for you? Go ahead and rest, because ain't nothing you can do anyway. Why are you up? I have friends who tell me, man, I couldn't sleep because of such and such. So I said, man, when I have a problem in my life, I sleep right on. Because I know God got it. If I'm going to be a true Christian, and if I'm going to truly have faith, then why am I up? Why am I worrying myself to death about something that I can't handle? Why am I worrying about something that my God has a hold of? If God got a hold of it, why are you trying to hold it? Your grip isn't as mighty as his grip. Your grip can't hold anything in place. But his grip can hold the whole world in place. Why get in the way of the Almighty? Why get in his way when he can do what you can't do? As a matter of fact, why get in his way when he can do what you won't do? God says, if you give it to me and get out the way, watch what I do. David says, I stopped being afraid. He said, not only did I stop being afraid, I started praising God for who he is. He said, he's been a lot of things for me. When they didn't think much of me, when they were looking for a king, they went to all my father's sons. Didn't think about me. Until Samuel said, there's one more. And then his own father had to say, yeah, he's out in the field working the sheep. What I'm trying to say to you, when even your own family don't think much of you, God thinks highly of you. Somebody ought to give God some praise. When your family thinks that you are the least of them, God says you are the king. Somebody ought to give God some praise. God says that when they don't think about you, you are always on my mind. He says, I'll always be what you need me to be. The Bible bears that out because he was Moses' civil engineer at the Red Sea. He was Samson's battle axe when he killed the Philistines. He was Jacob's ladder. He was Elijah and Enoch's bridge into heaven, for he didn't allow them to experience death. And then the Bible says that he was Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of a wheel. In other words, our God will be everything we need him to be. So when you're going through, stop worrying. When things come out of nowhere, don't worry. When pressure situations pop up, don't worry. When life is standing on your shoulders, don't worry. Go ahead and rest because God says, I got you. Go ahead and rest. Stop being concerned about what you can't handle. Stop getting in my way. Glory be to God. The doors of our Father's house are open if there will be one. The time is now. The Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time when God cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house are now open. Of praise. Amen. We're all saved. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for this day. Master, we thank you now for you making it where we can find rest in all of our situations. For you promise, Master, to be the one who fight for us. All we have to do is trust and allow you to fight, pray, and get out of the way. As we leave this place today, we pray that we go with you and allow you to lead us, allow you to guide us, allow you to comfort us, allow you to sustain us. As the writer said in the Psalms, you are the lifter up of our heads. We pray, Master, as we face situations in life, that you continue to exalt us, that you continue to pull us from the pits of life. We ask now, Master, of these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. And let every heart say amen.